Nothing that God would want to do with them, but that he'd be able to do and do so freely. As we would sing this song, worshiping him, it's really a prayer request in the form of a song. And I believe this is consecration time. The prophet said, now is my time for consecration. You see, not that I'm sinful, but to see a change in me. Where I could get a little closer to God. It's going to take that for this third pull, he says. To see it really going to march. And that's what we are looking for, friend. When everyone can take the place. When the whole body is coordinating together. Then you're going to see a real church. And one by one, as that vision begins to strike your heart. And one by one, as you begin to receive it. Recognizing it's God's program for the hour. And one by one, as you are willing to pay the price to see it live and become a reality in you, then your presence here is going to mean something. Your presence would not just be somebody coming in and taking up space. You're going to be a living member. You're going to be one that nobody will have to know if you're a believer here. Nobody will have to know if you're involved. There won't be one question. It'd be so real, it'd be so loud, it'd be so effective. You know why? Because those around you would be affected just by you being here. Something about the way you walk and something about the way you talk and the way you carry yourself. Because it won't be you no more. People will be able to tell the difference. It'll be God inside of you. Oh, we all have maybe a little measure of that, but the prophet said like a little button. But as it begins to grow and grow and grow and grow, until then it's Christ walking in your feet, working through your hands, speaking through your lips, thinking with your mind. Every move you make is Jesus Christ being expressed. That's what we desire tonight. And that's what we want to sing and worship our God tonight, this great, lovely Lord Jesus Christ, in whose presence we are gathered. Who can do something for each and every one of us here tonight? Who can meet that need in our life, break that place where the enemy is holding us? Who can bring that deliverance, that those things that we're crying out for? Who can provide and supply those needs? And he has promised to do it. Amen. And he's a God who keeps his promises tonight. Let's just get in the spirit. Let's just worship him. Let's just have a surrender to heart as we sing. Let's just drop our hands in the air. Let's just sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. My feet, Jesus.
my silver, my gold. It's so hard for so many people here sometimes. Hallelujah. We only have what God has given to us. Dwelling place. a home for the presence of the Lord. We are not all tonight. We are born with a price. We are born for this. That's why we find so much difficulty. That's why we can never be satisfied. That's why we find so much roadblocks in our lives. When we try to do this and God cut us off. When we try to go this way and God cut us off. When we try to go this way, we fall into trouble. When we try to go this way, it don't prosper, it backfires. Why don't we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? Say, take my life, Lord, and let it be. Don't you realize what you're born for? Look at Jesus. He said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I into this hour. Unto this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world. To be a witness of this truth. He chose us and predestinated us unto this placing. Blessed be his wonderful name. Is not within man to direct his own steps? The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of the Lord. He's letting us know his will for our lives. Isn't there something inside of us that can yield and say, Lord, I see a plan for my life now. I realize I can make plans for my life from now until I don't know when. Maybe until the last breath leaves this body, it'll never come to pass. It'll never go right until I can submit to your plan. Because I'm previously marked out by a design, chosen, designed for a certain place. Hallelujah. A home for the presence of the Lord. So let my life now be, Lord, separated unto you. I've learned my lesson. You don't have to beat me no more, Lord. You don't have to break my foot and keep me close to you no more. I know what your will is now. I'm thankful I can see faith coming to bring my spirit in subjection. That there's joy coming in my heart to take my place just where God wants me to be. Pride is being set aside. Ambition is being set aside. Because I can let go and let him have his wonderful way in my life now. Hallelujah. Oh, for I was born to be. Dwell in place tonight. Dwell in you and walk in you, see the Almighty. What house will you build me? Knowing that you are the temple of the living God tonight. A home for the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can you sing, so let my life now be. Place me according to my birth. Hallelujah. I can look at my birth and see what I was born to be. See where he's placing me in this hour. See what I fall from my mother's womb to be. He told Jeremiah before he was forming your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Paul said, we are what we are by the grace of God, friends. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. I might be what I was born to be. Oh, let's sing one more. Lord, how I long to be lost in your precious arms. You feel like, how many feel like that tonight in this place? Feel contentment. No more dissatisfaction. No more worry and strain and wandering. Just feel contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, friend. Sweep over my soul and hear him speak peace. Peace. Shalom. To the troubled waters of my soul. Just bring a calm. Bring a rest. No more worry, no more strain tonight. If you want that, God can give that to you. Isn't that why I come pray service tonight? You want more of the Holy Spirit? I told you on Wednesday night, pluck out the throne of God with your prayer. Amen! We want the Holy Ghost! We want the Holy Ghost! We want the Holy Ghost! We will not settle for nothing less! We want the Holy Ghost! Fill every fiber! Fill every fiber, Lord! Amen! That's the way we want to be, friends. Glory! Oh, and I believe if there's a brother or sister bunk tonight, and this whole church say, Lord, set them free, Lord! Set them free, Lord! Set them free! Make the devil loose them! Open the prison doors, Lord! He don't have to come forth free. I believe that too! What we can do if we are united. But if we all divided and all in confusion, we can hardly achieve anything. But oh my man, the Holy Spirit begin to cause you to rise, friends. And watch God do things for you like never before in this hour. Oh, let him give you peace tonight. Calm the troubled waters of your soul. You don't have to worry no more, amen. Just commit everything into his hands. And he will take care of it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, how I long. children are calling tonight. Lord, if they're longing children, are longing to bring that theophany.
Second Chronicles 26, dinner on Sunday, and Isaiah 6. I'm going to read a portion of the Second Chronicles, please. Chronicles 26. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 16. 1 to 15 tells us about how he is blessed in his position, all the great exploits he achieved as a king. Then verse 16 shows us the curse. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord who were gallant men. And David stood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thither. Yea, he himself hastened also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death,
He dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and the house is full of smoke. Look at the prophet under the vision now, under the effects of it. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this man hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. May the Lord bless you, and you will never see. Speaking on Sunday on abiding in the calling which you are called, and seeing how it's always a blessing for a man to find his place and take his place, and it's always a curse for a man after having found his place abandons his place. These things is put in the Bible to reveal something not just about placing, but about what pleases and displeases God. It reveals something about how God likes to run his kingdom. Not what we want to do in the kingdom of God. Many times people want to do a lot of things for God, but this shows us how God likes to run his own kingdom. It wasn't the priest that smote the man with the leprosy. It was God who smote him with the leprosy. The same man that God blessed, God smote. The same man that God strengthened greatly and lifted up, God put down. And Isaiah, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw. And right in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, which is 66 chapters, in the sixth chapter, when he begins to write. Later on in chapter 53, he says, Who hath believed our report? Because in chapter 6, Isaiah is commissioned to go forth in his ministry, where the voice said, Who will go for us? And he said, Here, my Lord, send me. And that was Isaiah's commission. And in chapter 53, he said, Who have believed our report? It's because after he had gone forth all his life, his ministry was rejected. The history says he was sawn asunder. When they were persecuting him, he ran and hid in a hollow trunk of a tree. And they found him, and Manasseh the king sawed him asunder inside the log. And that's why in Hebrews it says that some were sawn asunder, referring back to Isaiah, because that's how he died. But Isaiah was such a great prophet, and just like Jeremiah and like any other prophet and any other believer, his life was a predestinated life. He's born for a purpose in God's economy. Even before he was formed in his mother's womb, he was sanctified to be what he was, He was going to be a writing prophet, who was going to write 66 chapters, who was going to write the Bible in a miniature form, who was going to write about creation, who was going to write about the coming of John the Baptist, who was going to write about the coming of Messiah, who was going to write about the second coming, who was going to write about the millennium and the New Jerusalem. He was born for that. It wasn't given to anybody else, it was given to Isaiah. And here, God recalled something about Isaiah coming into his place. He was born for that place, but he hadn't yet taken that place as he was still so associated with Uzziah. And the history of Uzziah, before he died, we see it, how he was so greatly blessed. There was no king who reigned 52 years. The most a man reigned was 40 years. But Uzziah reigned 52 years. He reigned 52 years and he was such a great, mighty king. And his reputation went as far as Egypt, the Bible says. He was so strengthened, so magnified. In the days of his ministry as king, things was invented. The war machinery, it went up in the higher realm. It says he invented engines that could throw stones at a great distance. A double husbandry. The land flourished. He had skills in cultivation. But the Bible says some of his personal life, he loved husbandry. He's always maybe among his roses or in his vineyards and his orchards. He's always a man that loved the creation of God. If you even read the story of Uzziah, his father was Amaziah and his grandfather was Joash. You read the story about Joash. Oh, when Athaliah tried to kill out all the royal seed, Joash was spared. Sometimes it's good you trace the genealogy because you kind of find out the influence of the home. The boy growing up looked at his father and he knew what his grandfather was like. Because they were not like us. The Jews had the law and the custom caused them to keep trace of the genealogy. Every man had to know which house he was from. Every man had to know the standard of his house. Every man had to know the lines of his house. They kept those things because it was an inheritance they had. Every man lived in a portion of an inheritance that was given to his great-great-great-grandfather in the time of Joshua when they came over in that land. It's like Naboth in the time of Elijah. He was holding on to his father's inheritance. He wouldn't compromise it to the king for nothing. They knew the history. They knew the identity. And so Uzziah, in rising up, God helped him in such a way that he became so great. But only as long as he was with the Lord. And only as long as he stayed with the word of the Lord. Sometimes we misunderstand blessings. Sometimes we think blessings cause us to have a hold on God. Blessings, we don't have no hold on God because of blessings. We have a hold on God because we have relationship with God. God owns everybody. He is Lord and ruler, but you have relationship with everybody. Relationship is for those who we make covenant with. And we have a hold on God because God has made covenant with us. And we relate to God according to the covenant that God made with us. Because there's covenant blessings, there's covenant relationship. And that is what God brings a man to understand, the type of covenant that God has established with him. And what type of blessings God is interested in giving to him. And what type of relationship God wants to establish with him. And so here Uzziah begin to find out at a certain time that as much as blessed he was, the blessing made him self-secure. The blessing made him feel, because he was blessed, he could become a little bit carefree. He could become a, you know, sometimes people, when they get blessed, they look at, they start to compare, I and you. I bless more than you, or you ain't blessed as much as me, and you judge things by that. Now, could you imagine Saul on the throne saying, I am blessed more than David. And David's a king doing a king. It might look so for a season. And that's why when God gives us something, it must make us humble. Amen. It must make us sincere. And it must make us responsible, because it's a stewardship that at the end of the journey you'll have to give account to God for it. Amen. Because it didn't just happen by luck in life. You was born to receive at a certain stage. So that while you have it, you will be able to use it. And when you're able to use it, you're able to use it according to the purpose of the giver who gave it. Amen. Now if you don't see God giving it, then you'll never use it for God's purpose. Amen. If you see you acquire it, then you use it according to your desire and your thinking. And when life is over, you can't take nothing with you to the grave. God, naked, you come to the world and naked, you leave. And you go out there in the eternity, you realize you come into the economy. You see, it's not just, we realize heaven is not what our mother and father used to tell us about. The church has grown from that. Heaven is a civilization. It's an economy. You are going over into a position, and you are going over into a reward, whether it's going to be dear or not. And the reward of this is going to be related to your life here and your service here. Amen. It's not just ending up in heaven. And this is where we realize that God ordained our life that way, to live while we're here on earth. And that's why one of the first and major things God brings to you while you live here on earth is to show you what you are called unto. It's to show you that he chose you and he predestinated you to a certain place. You're called to serve in that place, and at the end of the road, you go to your eternal destination when your earthly journey is finished, and you continue in the civilization of God in that place. Amen. Because that place don't cease with death. Amen. Because that place was before death existed. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. That's why Moses was a prophet after he died still. That's why Samuel was still a prophet after he died. That's why around the Christian time, they said just like Jacob, he gathered his people, and he's a prophet on earth. And then he said, Paul have to be judged? He said, yes. So here was Jacob like a prophet. Here was like Paul, a prophet in the New Testament, have to be judged too. Old Testament and New Testament, both was being confirmed when he crossed over on the other side. And then when he crossed over there, he began to understand something. Now once this, if this revelation is really revealed to you, if it's just a doctrine you're trying to learn in your mental mind, you're just trying to live for here. But when that's revealed to you, you already see eternity. You see beyond the curtain.
Amen.
And you start to see a theophany there. You don't have to imagine, I want to make theophany that body, I want to have a look boy. No. You start to see a position.
Amen.
You start to see the civilization that is there. Because it's there, friends. Hope was there. He does not mistake us for rewards, because it was written in the Bible. Those who he loved and those who love him was there. He was gathering his own people, not poor people. And that's why when you identify that ministry here, you don't think you're running away to be identified and different ministry. your life even lock and tie to the ministry of everything right here on earth. If it's a little doctrine, all kind of things are going to push you out of it. And you relate it like church for convenience. When you want to sound deep and like you know the word, you talk that. But when circumstances come and you have to behave that, you can't behave that. See? Now when the word is being opened here and the seal is taken off the word and you see place now, you see eternal people.
Amen.
If you understand how you know a place, how do we know Brother Bram is eternal? You never meet him in your life? It has been revealed to you. You never said I'm talking to another one day. It has been revealed to you. Think of it. And the thing is that the reason he's going to be there because he was eternal. You know why? His lives make a certain part of the Bible that for 6,000 years, nobody can make that part live. His life will make it live. And the reason you have eternal life, your life will have to make a part of the Bible that nobody for 6,000 years can make it live neither too.
Amen.
To show you're taking your place.
Amen.
Then you know the Bible is being fulfilled. Yeah. Then you know in that age. Remember that word that's being fulfilled. You have no other way to know you're in that age.
Amen.
Because the word is a lock to the age. And when the word, the age is time, and the word is the promise. And God promised something for a certain time. And when God begins to bring the past of the promise for a certain time, then that is the evidence that that is that time. Regardless of what everybody else clock say. Everybody else clock will be saying, Jesus ain't coming soon, and all the talk about new body, we ain't getting ready for no new body. That's just some doctrine that somebody think up in their mind. Let me tell you, when he turns his back like that, he discerned the hearts of the people to put us back in Genesis 18. God, and he showed the world in Sodom, and he showed the supreme judge, and he said, shall I hide this and reveal them that nobody will reveal in the Bible? People could say what the scientists could say, the world have billions of years again, they could say what they want. God identified time. God showed sons, what time is it? This is the sign of the end. God showed time. When God proved those things, that is what he come and reveals to us. Now God could have come and revealed us all kind of different things if this wasn't necessary, you know. But God knew when he had come to the believer, he has to reveal to you what he did in this day. Because even though he revealed to you everything about the Bible in a past age, you still wouldn't know it's happening in your day. So he had to show you who that man from Jeffersonville, from Kentucky was. And the rest of the world could say false prophet, could say cult, could say, you know, woman hater. They could say what they want. Just a good evangelist, a man that God used and went off in the end. See? But when God come and show you who that is, God start to become known to you.
Amen.
Because through there, God is going to start to make himself known to you. You don't know about God. We don't know God existed. We don't know God did things back in the Bible. We don't know that we're having some kind of experience with God that making us want to serve God. But to really be in true relationship with God, it means to see the word for your age coming to pass in your own life. And you could never know that until that man came.
Amen.
Because he was sent to make that known.
Amen.
And that's what it is. See, that's what it is all the time. It's happening over and over and over. And that's why when people lose their focus and they just get in a church here, and they get a few friends in the church, and they're sitting up here thinking they're going somewhere, they lose the focus. Because they relate to denomination falls, becoming the messenger, baptizing Jesus' name and that kind of thing. But then when your fellowship knows in a certain atmosphere, where your hunger and your craving certain things, where your expectations are according to the time that you're living in, where your sacrifice and your prayer pointing to the continuity of what you become conscious of God doing in your very midst, then there's a harmony that is different. Then the life is so close in that if God tells you go and do a certain thing, right away you're going to recognize it as God. Why? Because you know the program. You know that is in the program to be done. And when you look and see the service that God wants done, and you see your experience, you see God train you and prepare you for that. Otherwise, God tell you, I want that done. Well, God tell me move that. I got to move it. Don't talk to me. You better go and tell the person who God say must move that. They hear that. God tell me what I move. But according to the word, I know I must move that. I know that's supposed to come here. And I know God give it to me just to show me, or just for me to see whether I am going to stay in my place or not. God, but the first thought people get is, nobody ain't worthy to be used as. So God uses it like bishop. And that's why David when you get a revelation that goes to nature. See? You may think, it looks strange that God gets given man the revelation. Move the ark, and then, you know what happens? When it is done the wrong, when a man gets killed, then God can't get the killed man. Who gets the revelation to move the ark? Correct. So God doesn't send the revelation then? No, God has tested all of us to see if we know our place. And if we realize that we're in a place and something comes to us, if we are willing even to respect those in the place that's supposed to do what they're supposed to do. And realize God will change his mind about the word. God wants to teach us that the order of his economy and his place in his economy is greater than our zeal, is greater than our ambition, is greater than how we see our own self. Our lives don't govern that. That governs our life.
Amen.
We bring ourselves subject to that.
Amen.
We don't try to overrule that because we feel a certain favor that God talked to us. See, you have to get it. Knowing him is life. Not knowing about him. Knowing him. And that's what happened to Uzziah. When Uzziah saw, when Isaiah rather saw Uzziah smitten with leprosy, it shook him up. He ran to the temple to pray in desperation. I know what God did. That was what one of these God used to shake Isaiah to his place. When he went to the temple and began to pray. Now remember, you can't dream a dream and he can't see a vision. God has given the vision, God has given the dream. And when he went and God broke the vision, God could have shown anything. God could have shown the tabernacle in heaven. God could have shown Malachi for the last day. Don't let God shown the new heaven and new earth. Don't let God shown the tribulation period. Don't let God shown the messenger, John the Baptist coming. Don't let God shown Christ coming. But in that particular instance, God didn't want to shame all of him. God wanted to show something about his own self. So he saw a self in. Nobody in the Bible had ever seen a self in before. But they existed. And God chose the particular vision to give him at that stage of his life because it was intended to teach him a lesson. You see, when God gives you things, it's to teach you a lesson. And it's to teach him a lesson to help him take his place. He was getting too close to the politicians. The king was not over the spiritual matter. He was over politics. As that was the prophet of the nation. And so when that happened, because God blessed the man, he healed the man. And look what happened. Then he saw that vision. God showed that particular vision where he saw a certain man, a creature with six wings. Now, what the vision ended up with Isaac begotten, who will go for us? The vision started with the year King Isaiah died. It's put it in the Bible. The death of King Uzziah and Isaiah coming to his place. And the vision that brought confession, cleansing, and commission. So a man could make a confession and then get cleansing. They could not go into his place with unclean lips. He could not go in this place not cleansed. He could not go in this place without a true understanding of how to fulfill the place by seeing the heavenly example of what he was supposed to be. He saw the real king. In other words, he was you know, the earthly king, and God saw my heavenly king. I want to show the heavenly king. He's because he says, my eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. He said, my eyes have seen the king. And when he saw the king, he saw one in the king's presence. Crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. One who knew his place. One who has a burner to take the coal of fire off the altar. And who can bring a cleansing. Who can bring a purging? Who can remove iniquity from people? Who can get people ready for a commission? That's what happened on the message. If this church sits down here, and got people in this church need cleansing, how do you go to cleanse them? If this church have to fulfill a commission, who's going to be seen last to fulfill and finish the commission? And if this church is of a ministry, God must prophesy again. Who will go for us? How, before you come into that place, it can't go into that place with a clean lips. If this church, maybe just look at an organization that God bless, and kind of hold on right there, and just get stagnated, then God will do something to shake this church. To bring it to a place where to look inward. Because he went to the temple to pray for something out with his prayer. And the vision broke. When the vision broke, he saw something. Something that was supposed to be instructive at that stage and juncture of his life. We all need something instructive at this stage of our life before we come into our places. Amen. If we can see the right vision of our place and our behavior, or how that place is fulfilled, how we ought to take that place and serve in that place and the capacity and use the equipment, the way that God designed. Remember, a seraphim is not designed like an angel. A cherubim is designed different. The seraphim has six wings. He's designed with six wings. Put the fly, put the covering face, and put the covering face. That was his equipment. And he fulfilled his service will be fulfilled in action, reverence, and humility. His service was for his king, the heavenly king. And he had to know that when he gets before his king, how he had to conduct himself. That was a great lesson. Each and every one of us, where we are right now. We all hear about placing. We hear about the battles you have to fight and how you go about warring
a real war. Wednesday night we took it. What? Paul was identifying two kinds of fighting. One mighty truth to pull down a stronghold, and one kind of fighting that is beating the air. One kind of fighting that's taking them into the captivity, and one kind of fighting that just relying upon strength and the back is not too strong. I was identifying that to show there's a fighting that have no achievement in it. There's a warring that have no possession in it. And showing that when people have been warring and warring and warring, because thus shall the Lord do to all the enemies we fight against. It's a weaker fight. And as we were speaking that scripture in Isaiah, Isaiah had to come and take his place. And when he took his place, it's because he had to make a confession. He had to become cleansed. It took a burden, it took a ministry, a seraphim, to bring the cleansing. God don't cleanse man by theology, God cleanses him by fire. If you have to do anything for God, know you have to be cleansed. Know that you don't say, Lord, I want a cleansing, I want a cleansing, I want a cleansing. You should have confessed, woe is me. You see yourself through God's eyes, not your own eyes. Isaiah says, I am a prophet, I possess the nature, I born, I under adoption, I am a prophet of the age. He was seeing himself so, you know. When he was seeing himself under the effects of the vision, he said, woe is me. You know why? He was able to examine his life with the seraphim. And he wasn't like the seraphim. And instead of being like the seraphim, what he was supposed to be, God, he began to see the heavenly order. And when he saw the heavenly order, then he knew what the earthly order was supposed to be. Because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God told Moses, will in heaven represents on the earth. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you lose on earth is loose in heaven. It's God and man to come into union. It takes certain grounds, it takes certain principles to bring that. Otherwise you struggle. But we have to come to a place where you have to get dissatisfied with struggling. You have to come to a place where you have to get dissatisfied with just proging with the wrong key. You have to get dissatisfied by seeing, you know, I ain't really hurting the devil. He never done wrong for me. When he come against me, he don't really feel 10,000 volts and take off and get for the cinch. Like he just camp around me. When I read about this, he loves Jesus for a season. Because remember, if you're in warfare, do you know what it's called that? There's no consciousness of warfare. And you know what is bringing lack of consciousness of warfare? Lack of the Holy Spirit. More the Holy Spirit get you more sensitive. The more the Holy Spirit lift up a little higher. The more you higher, the little clearer you see. And the more anointed you become. Amen. We have a lot of people, but they're not anointed. They might be elected and called, but they are anointed. When elected and called people get anointed, things will happen. Amen. When you never elected and called people who ain't yet anointed, they're still under the voice. Like David time before Samuel. And Samuel's talking to him, but the oil is gonna fall yet. And we could be called, be chosen, be the right people ordained to the position. Like Peter was elected, he was called by Jesus, but he's backsliding. He's getting to wear the word all the time. He's trying to correct the word too. See? Then I go fishing, that I influence people in the backsliding commission too. And then when you see that, you get to realize what's actually happening. You have to come to the place where you get anointed. The word means I get anointed. I walk out the upper room. It was different. Tell you, I go fishing. It's not, I rarely go fishing. But I knew. And 3,000 souls came in one day. Is that right? Sure. That's the way we want to be. Like God says. So, may God help us. As we really try, see some of you young ones who look at my cleansing, thy iniquity has been purged, thy sin has been taken away. You want to hear those words spoken to you. You know what words just follow that? Who will go for us? You know what acts just follow iniquity is purged? An anointing, a commission. And what your elected call, anointing, and place, you can't help but say, "Here, my Lord, send me."
Amen.
Because you see what you was born for, you see what you raised up for, and everything else takes second place behind you.
Amen.
Everything else falls into ground. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish. It's a great work to finish. May God give each and every one of us more and more understanding as we hear the word more and more, as we open up more and more to you. Isaiah had to come to the time when he took his place. He took a vision. He took a seraphim. Bring a cleansing. If you feel you've been purged, if you feel it being cleansed, if you feel it coal off the fire of God's altar, this burning word, the word have I spoken to you, have made you clean, Jesus said. Sanctify them by thy truth. That word is true. God cleansed by the word. The word is fire, friend. Fire proceed out of the mouth. Is that right? Purchased by the word. Get ready for a commission. Bring a cleansing in your life. Get ready for a place for service. It means to say your confession has been accepted. Your crown, you begin to make a confession. Revelation begins to break and dawn upon you. And you begin to see God on the scene. You begin to recognize God's presence. You begin to come into relationship with the way God is presenting Himself to you. God presented Himself as King with the seraphim in His presence. Because He wanted to show Isaiah, this is the way it's supposed to be. Not Isaiah, not that. Not merely the arm of flesh. Not fleshly association, not fleshly relationship. Relationship in the Word. See? We can't say no people have flesh. You have disrespected. You can't receive correction from Him no more. You can't see Him as God no more. You get too close. The flesh starts to blind you. It gets too common to you. You can make all kind of joke, all kind of things. There's no sacred and reverence no more. You can pick and choose what you want to hear out of it. See? Why? Because you get too comfortable. That's why every man has to be distant from the ark. To keep a distance from the ark. And let the ark go. Because the word is to open my way for you. The preaching behind you is to open my way for you. You don't open the way for yourself. It's to open my way for you. To bring you your inheritance. See? And so, if Isaiah had not taken his place, that whole age couldn't come into the place. So God had to bring him to take his place. And maybe your family can't take the place if you can't take your place at the head of your home. Maybe if you in the church can't take your place, then you're keeping others out of your place,
out of here, please. Because you're a stumbling block, you're blocking somebody in somebody's way. Because you get out of everybody, we were to get in your place. In your place. You have no place to loiter around. In your place, you have blessings, you have warfare, you have rest, all in your place. Let every man abide in the calling, in whatever calling that he is calling. And when Isaiah took that place, he says, look at the word that came forth in that age. Look what God was able to do, and look at a man who so knew he had taken his place and finished his course. And you could see this testimony of his blood, which he died martyrdom. That is where you and me will take this place of God's kingdom. We all have the same place. But if we each can be what God wants us to be, if each can be, see the need for each other, and if each one can see the need to abide in their place, that when the body have need of them, they in the place where they can serve the body. That's why you have to be in the place. Because you put there for the body. You wasn't put there for yourself. You just put there for the body. And you know, the more we look at it, you're going to see that God wants to bring each and every one of you. And remember, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. It cements your place in the body. Though you're outside the body, you're journeying to a place in the body. But the Holy Spirit just cements you into your place in the body. Or you were chosen and marked for that place to begin with. So the prophet of the age, even before you had the Holy Ghost. You don't get the Holy Ghost, you got the prophet of the age, you know? The Holy Spirit who gave birth to him, who protected his life at the time he committed suicide and aborted. He couldn't break the scriptures. The scriptures cannot be broken. Let me tell you. When you are in that place, you don't come out of the race. You can't come out of the race if you want. Amen. If you see it go in the race and come out of the race when you want, no, you're in the wrong race. Amen. That's why when he tried to kill himself, he couldn't do it. The gun jammed. Boom, right after the gun fall, boom, it fire off. Yeah. Somebody will stop it. Hold it high tension wire, next thing you know, he's in the ground. Somebody will let kill himself. He said, God is protecting the gift, not him, the gift. You give her the finance right place. You see, there's a which one is stronger? Your human will or God's predestination? So then you realize you don't want to try to do nothing to stop God's program on a path. You want to walk with it. Amen?
Let me give you a quote before
we... He's talking about his own self here. He said, I'm homesick. I've been homesick for 20 years and I ain't got no home to go to. See, that's true. That's an awful thing to say. I could sit down and cry to go somewhere home. I ain't got no home to go. Everywhere I go, I can't stay there a few days. I'm ready to go somewhere else. I guess I've been that way. I was born that way. My wife calls me restless wings. I'm just here and then there. And that's an awful fix to be in. But I guess I have to be that way for my ministry. He said, and then he talks about how he won this place. He says, I'm homesick, I want to go home, I don't know where to go. What are you going to do in Arizona for your family is there? He said, I'm all right for 2 or 3 days, I got to go somewhere else. I go there, then I'm 2 or 3 days, I got to go somewhere else. He says, I leave Jeffersonville, I'll be gone a few weeks, I want to come back again. I go to Arizona, I think that's wonderful, I want to come back again. I go somewhere else, I want to come back again. I go there, I want to come here again. See, I got my children scattered out over the world. And then that I've begotten to Christ. Then I don't have no home. I want to get them all together one of these days. Father will, then we'll have a home where we won't have to roam no more. He says, and I advise anybody never to be a rolling stone, unless it's some kind of a ministry that calls you that way.
So then he says, and I am thus because I am thus. God made me what I am. I can't be nothing but what he made me, melancholy, and those kind of things. They tell me I just have to be that way in order to be the help that he sent me here to be. There's four temperaments. He took it out of Luke one time and preached it. And one of them, you know, is melancholy. And he said, I have to be a melancholy. See? When they analyze his personality, when them doctors themselves and they say, you kind of melancholy. He said, you can see a dream even while you're awake. They put him on that machine. He said, you ever hear about the Old Testament prophets? They were seers. He said, you mean to say, that's what it was? And he started explaining about vision. He said, the doctors and still cry. He said, we never examine a body like that. Now watch. This is a person who make up a certain way. He said, they tell me I just have to be that way in order to be the help that he sent me here to be. And I want to be that kind of a person. Like God tell Paul, he will have to suffer many things for my name's sake. Now, when you start on serving God, and God realizes you will be suffering many things, and you realize you're young and full of strength, and you're going to die in a hurry, and you realize if you live the next 25 years, you have 25 years of suffering to go through. Well, you sure wouldn't want to go trying to murmur and complain and asking God to take away suffering every day. Because God, by telling you that, is showing you his will. So Paul said, I pray, Lord, take away this. God said, don't talk to you about no more of that. Then he said, I've grown my infirmities. Then he said, that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. So he said, he said, I pray for it now. And change the attitude, understanding his makeup for a ministry and for what he's called to do. And you learn, instead of understand your place, there are certain things in your makeup. Like one of you say, you say, I have a bad liver system. See? Father's an alcoholic. Doctor doesn't say, because your father's an alcoholic, that's why you have that condition. He said, but get to find out poets and all of his neurotics. And it takes this nervous strain where I live up in the edge of sanity and insanity, it takes that to break into the realm of division. Now you see, sometimes, because remember, the natural birth is more mysterious than the virgin birth. Remember, there's no break in the bloodline. You say, all to my mother's side is Harvey, them is Irish. All to my father's side is Branham. You say, that is Irish. You see, and just before my mother was born, her father, who was Harvey, married an Indian of the Cherokee Reservation. And that's the only break in the bloodline. And that makes my mother a half Indian. He said, because my mother's a half Indian, I like a hunting fish. Because if you could be Elijah, you could be a woodsman. See? Then he goes in the barber chair and he enjoying his nice hair. He said, I always like my hair, a nice shock of wavy black hair. And so he's like a comb it and, you know, put it nice and fix it nice. He said, once did the barber make a mistake and put carbolic acid when I went to get it washed. See? You love your hair so much, you want to get it washed. Wash it up with a very good, with a special shampoo and the tonic and, you know, put some conditioner in and everything else. And you sit down, get in your chair, fall asleep. See? Baba play up in your hair. Maybe the Baba chair next to the hair sort of fall. See? But in the Bible now, Elijah was bald headed. The children call Elijah both bald headed, if you see. So everything there was being a shaping. What was like misfortune? What was like hardship? Hard, because it was predestined, had something to do with his life. Amen. These things you blame God for and get vexed with God for is to help identify you. Amen. Is to help shape you for your calling.
Amen.
Well, the father was so poor, he couldn't get a good education, and
He said, we are so poor, I had to borrow a pencil and borrow a piece of paper to write it. We are so poor. And when you're so poor, when you're close to go to school, and not until the fella gave him the legging and his coat suit, he's able to go to school. See? I want to just say, take off that tick thing below you. He said, no, I'm feeling cold. So I'm feeling cold. Sit by the fire. No, you have no clothes. And then not being able to go to school now, you ain't getting no education. So you all your grammar for hate and thought and fetch. So you can't talk, express yourself. You're expressing yourself like a woodsman. But yet, that was like John the Baptist, who was saying the axe in the root of the tree and the snake in the grass and God put up stone to be ripped and preaching woodman terminology. It didn't come in the ecclesiastical way of the day when men talking all the big long four-syllable word and the big sort of grammar and different things. He come, you know, in the midst of that like an oddball. So he preached oddball. But he was fitting the Bible. God designed the man's makeup, the ways and the preach, the ways he's ministering all these things. The kind of people he shall name to also. That's why you can't vote in ministries and everything that's needed. You see, God knows it's going to take you to get you ready. I know it will take you to bring the ministry and shit too. Sure? When Moses finished that people, they will do something else. But watch, no matter what it was, look at his life. And he says, if that's the way I was supposed to be, that's what I want to be. Whatever God's kingdom of God's will, or God's will, that's what I want to be. I'm saying this to give some of you some encouragement, because you know, sometimes there's things in your makeup that's put here. He said, talking about people who come to Egypt, the person came to me, they heard me say that the evidence of the Holy Ghost wasn't speaking in tongues. But I advise that person to ask God to let them either speak in tongues or prophesy because it's the nature. He was preaching about, you know, speaking in tongues of the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But he had this particular woman. Because of her personality, she's so nervous and kind of unstable. You see, I told her to ask God to let her speak in tongues. Because she needs to have something to hold on to. She can't just settle and have the kind of nature to just look at the world and take it like that. So here he says, the first thing I went to that person and found their birthplace and what sign they were born under and could tell what their birth was, which way it set in their natural nature, set them in a certain line. That when they are reborn again, they are over here in another nature. And when you find into this nature, that's the inside conscience. The outside conscience move you one way. That's in your natural birth. Then it'll make up something. It will put them, what? You say under four. You don't want numerology now. You say under four. Under four, it put them in a split condition. They don't know what to do. They say, the Lord made me do this. The inside say, I know it lines up with the scripture. And they'll start to do it, and the first thing you know, Satan on the outside will show them all kind of detection, and they say, well, I guess this is the Satan. Because of the birth path, how they set in the natural. See? They were born in the spirit on the inside. They start to do something. Right away they say, I think the Lord may do that to the boy. And you still kind of pull over and over all the time. Every day they have a leader, but God will tell me, God will tell me, God will tell me. And all these people who look so like God tell them and God tell them and God tell them. 3 months after, they have no continuity. When you start to remind them, but then you say you start to do that. Like we gave you the message some years ago. I have these brothers, you know, like in the wrong churches. And they just tee up a couple of churches, tried to start one, they couldn't start neither with a few people. So they ended up when we were in Cokie. So they come here and after a couple of weeks, a couple of months, boy, they want to go and preach. So he told them, you know, the comments. Yeah, the Lord leading them to go and do this and so on and pray. And then the Lord opened the scripture and showed me. So we had a little brother's meeting, you know, and they started talking to him. So I get kind of quiet because, you know, you're playing right where I want you. When you thought I said the Lord tell you. But the Lord don't lie. I'm a funny person to tell the Lord tell you. When you deal with me, if you ain't sure the Lord tell you, say it come in my mind. Or I'll still miss it. Because I have this zeal, I don't like nobody to lie on the Lord. So they want to go and preach, I said, and I know what I was going to do. I was going to take a few people in the church right there to get them under the influence. I never let people always see, you know, what to do for the Lord, but don't want to be trained, don't want to be subject to authority, don't want to be cleansed, don't want to be repaired, faith, don't want to prove the blessed of God with that thing in the church before they go outside first. So they just want to look for escape and run and do something. And then if it fails and falls to the ground, they want to come back and say, all right, like everything is all right. So I know at once the church of God can't run like that. So I said, okay, God tell you, God talk to you. Some of the brothers jump on them right there. I said, leave them alone. Leave the brothers alone. If God talk to them, leave them alone. Go up, you want God to talk to you? I said, God talk to the brothers. Let them go. The brothers went out, had the big, get the place, find this church. You know, they start to have meetings, invite people. They even invite them to preach one day. So I give them my juice, preach one day too. And after the service, we came back, started having normal services. And then the week comes and said, okay, let's have a post-mortem about the meetings. So we went and had a post-mortem about the meetings. So the brother came up and he says, you know, he kind of feel that they get a witness. I said, what? I said, when you came, you said God talked to you. You quote Amos 7. Well, I had the scripture marked down. You turn back to Amos 7, read it. And what the scripture was saying that he identified God was showing him he's supposed to do wasn't done. So I said, God talked to you, then either you repent, you come here and repent because you have a lying spirit, or you go and stay there until that thing comes to pass. And he went for 1 week and he had a little sidekick with him. And the sidekick dropped off after a week because nobody was going. They were pushing the benches. So then they came back and after a little while, the last bit was broken. And then he said, under real pain, you know, you have to acknowledge it. You don't want to do it. It was the devil. But then the very next week, he was in another church where he felt led to go and preach again. So from the time I said, I realized this is, you know, you have this kind of, it comes up in people. But what I'm trying to say is that, you watch them and you see where the nature leads. You see their personality, where they're born. You see why they are the way they are. And sometimes they can't see it that way. You see the type of sins they're susceptible to and you tell them and they try to say, no, I ain't just like that. I don't have that weakness. And you know they're lying because they have that weakness, they don't expose themselves. And then the condition comes and they start to show the symptoms. Well, every one of us is made up in a way that Satan have a place to punch at us.
Amen.
So you see, none of us can come by the virgin birth. And since none of us can come by the virgin birth, then every one of us come where our personality fall in a certain way. And once you see that, it don't take you long to start to see what you're susceptible to.
Amen.
And that's where you need to take your ammunition and put it there and guard that place. The prophet said, he told the brothers, remember that Christ in the world? He said, I tell that brother. In paradox, he says, this girl come to this boy, you want to come and marry this girl? He said, I tell that girl, if she ever married that boy, you make hell for her on earth. She watching me here. She watching this. But he watching the personality. He watching the family tree. He watching the nature of the boy. He watching the temperament. He watching the behavior of certain conditions. He said, without the Holy Ghost, he will make hell for her. I will never advise a girl to get married to the Lord. You remember the preacher back in Bataria? People say, he don't want to marry nobody. See, can't get married in Egypt when you go up there. You go up in that church, but nobody will get married there, no. You don't get divorced here neither. You see, you try to help people. But people want to stay babies, baby Christianity. People ain't ready for real Christianity. People ain't ready to really walk with God where they're supposed to walk with God. But the Ram says, this person which is in you, which is your birth, you are a John Doe. You are born in a certain month, and you are born under a certain star. You are born under a certain thing, and that has something to do with you. Certainly does. He said, Papa used to say, I can't plant the potatoes at this time because the moon isn't right. You can't plant them potatoes, Billy. I said, I'm not planting the moon, I'm planting them in the ground. He said, all right, smart, I'll let go on. You get a few bumps on your head and you learn something. He said, I did. He said, you take a board and lay it down here on the grass in the dark of the moon and watch what happens. The grass will die right now. Later, the light of the moon, you can let it there, lay there a week. It won't hurt it a bit. Watch that, see when the moon changes yonder. Watch the tide. When the moon goes out, the tide falls down. And it's millions of miles from the moon, from the earth. Not only that, go down here in the state of Kentucky and sink a rod in the ground till you get into the salt water. Watch the tide, how deep it is when the moon, when the tide's in. And watch how it goes out, plumb across under the earth. Certainly, you plant something that spreads out on top of the earth. In the dark moon, watch it go right down and make it like a radish or a turnip wheel. You plant it back the other way, watch it spread out on top of the earth. Sure, it's got something to do. He said, why did Aaron have on the breastplate the birthstones of each one of those patriarchs? Look at those mothers when they give the utterance. When their mothers and them Hebrew women in labor give the utterance to those children being born, it placed the name. It told the birth. It put them in the homeland. It set them away in eternity. He said, one of these days when I come in and see the time, I want to take that subject. Exactly. Then watch Jacob when he was dying. He laid his hand upon the patriarchs and blessed them. He tell them exactly where they would be. And exactly according to their name, exactly according to their birth, it sure it has something to do with you. And that's your birth part. That's what you are, a natural man or natural woman. That's why certain people can't, it's a misfit in certain positions. They can't function in certain positions because they're in the wrong position. That's why some people go into a certain job because of economic purposes. So they'll take what job they can get conveniently, pressure. And then they lock the air, and then it's like torment day and night, and they're unhappy, and the whole life is miserable. But sometimes like a glorified position too. And if they go out and do something where they might be happy or farming or something, boy, they don't want to do that at all because people are going to look at them. And that's going to be blessed, they'll be more healthy, and they'll be strong, and they'll have full of joy, and they'll be able to do things, and God will reveal himself to them. And they don't want to take that place of them because, and then this whole modern age that stresses intellectualism and university knowledge and all kinds of different things, and educational system, to make the world lead on their own understanding. They have taken people away from the real purposes that God wants for them. Time a child born, somebody say, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a pilot, I'm going to be a student. And they choose some big thing they want a child to be. And then they start to live their own life to the child. They start to, you know, put a pressure on the child mind so the child could fulfill their unfulfilled ambitions. So when they done it, they say, see, look at my boy. I sacrifice him to go to school, you know. See where he is today? I just... And half the time, boom, it's gone. Children become nothing. Life waste, become alcohol, become drunk with adultery, the fornication, and all kinds of different things. Can you live and serve God overcome it? Why? Because they fail to look at the Bible. they fail to see. Them children, like a father say, I want my son kept in the east. I want my son be in the priesthood. By the birth path, that was being put in certain places. It's a great thing. Because see, with God, there's no shame in that. Adam was a father. First perfect man was not in an office, man, just with a book, with fan on him, and you know, executive swivel chair, and big calendar on the wall. He was a farmer, had no man to till the soil. He was a conservationist to dress the earth. When Jesus came, he said, he called himself the sower, went for the sower seed. So shame and pride because of place don't come from God, that is the devil. For Lucifer always wanted to be what he was not. And he always tried to push people to look lofty and nice to become what they are not. And that's why they fall so far and get deformed into something else. It's a sin to drive children with false pride. Thoughts this. If that influence is coming from God, it's a sin. Because all work that is honest, and anybody will honor God with the first fruits of the substance and these things, is acceptable in God's sight.
Amen.
That's why in Christianity, in the first thing, Paul said, whether you're free, he is Christ's prisoner. And if you're a slave, you're the Lord's free man. Abide in your state and serve God, he said. Don't feel God less in your life because you're a slave in somebody's backyard. And don't feel God more with you because you're out in a big office somewhere.
Amen.
I always keep teaching. If this could be your teaching that day, then I'm crazy. And if they are taught higher than God taught, then it's of the devil. Trying to exalt his knowledge above the world. That we did in the beginning.